This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Here's my story, it's sad but true. It's about a girl that I once knew. She took my love, then ran around with every single guy in town. Keep away from a run around sewer, yeah. My miss the lips and the smile on her face, the touch of her hand and this girl's one embrace. So if you don't wanna cry like I do, I keep away from a run around sewer.
Whoa. Oh yeah. Remember Dion? Run around sewer? Good morning, welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Malloy Show. I am Paul Malloy, and along with my buddy, my partner, my friend, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. It is Flag Day, June the 14th. Have you got your flag out? Friday, June the 14th. We will be talking in a few minutes with Ryan Young of the Competitive Enterprise Institute about the Federal Reserve's decision not to do anything with rates. Not going to raise them, not going to lower them, at least for the time being. Question, will they raise or cut those rates before the election coming up in November? That's just 5 months away. So we'll talk with Ryan about that in just a few minutes. And President Biden, you know, he's over at the G7 summit recently. He snapped at a reporter during a very short question-answer period there at the end of his speech. He says he will not pardon his son, Hunter, in his gun and drug trial conviction, among other things. We're going to talk about the demeanor of Joe Biden over there, so stay tuned for that. And do you get Social Security checks? Actuaries now say Social Security may be cut an average $325 a month in your benefits if something is not done to shore it up. And we're going to give you all the details on that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, how about this one? The top 10 best New England beach towns. I've been to one of them. So we'll be talking about that towards the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. They have new hours, guys. They are now open Tuesdays through Fridays, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. So they've shortened one day and they have extended 1 hour. Again, Tuesdays through Fridays, 9 to 6. Best haircut that I've ever found in Tampa Bay, in Dunedin, in the Overcash Plaza. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service, if you have any kind of a need that involves a tree, I don't care what it is. You want to grow trees, get rid of trees, stump grind, reseed trees, anything, top off trees. I have used Arbor Life Tree Service. They are terrific. Call today for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So Biden's getting a little bit short in the temper. Of course, he's under a lot of pressure these days. We know that. Presidents always are. The White House Correspondents Association has responded to Biden snapping at a reporter for asking an off-topic question yesterday in Italy at the G7 summit. And it was, you know, one of his call-on media. It was Bloomberg. The guy's name was Josh Wingrove. And when Bloomberg's Wingrove asked a question, he apparently broke the rules by going off topic regarding the Israeli-Gaza war, because Biden was standing next to Zelensky. That's a different war. That's another war that's happened since Biden's been in. That's the Ukraine war. So this guy, this Bloomberg reporter, had the nerve to ask about the Gaza war. And here's what Biden said. I wish you guys would play by the rules a little bit. I'm here to talk about a critical situation in Ukraine. You're asking another subject. I'll be happy to answer in detail later. But the bottom line is, we made an agreement in regard to Gaza. Now, here's the deal. Biden has signed a 10-year commitment with Ukraine to continue sending military equipment over there. 10 years. 10 years. Is that how much longer this war is going to go on? Is that the deal? So that alone should make you pause. I mean, are we just throwing our money over there to Ukraine? We don't even know if that money is being used in the right way. And I say the right way, you know, honorably. That there isn't people skimming some of that money. 10-year agreement. Oh, my goodness. Before this guy Wingrove from Bloomberg, Biden called on a reporter from AP who not only asked about expanding the parameters on the weapons into Russia, but also about good old Hunter Biden. And Biden says he is extremely proud of Hunter. He told reporters that he would not pardon Hunter. It's marking the first time he has commented on the matter since his son's conviction. What else on this? Here's what he also said. With regard to the question regarding the family, I'm extremely proud of my son, Hunter. He has overcome an addiction. He has. He's one of the brightest, most decent men I know. And I'm satisfied that I'm not going to do anything. I said, I'd abide by the jury decision. I will do that. I will not pardon him. Okay. There's something called a commutation. The only difference between a pardon and a commutation, I think, is that when you pardon somebody, they wipe clean your record. When you commute, you just say, okay, no matter what you've served up until now, I'm commuting it. You don't have to go any further.
We also forgot when he said he's proud of his son that he's overcome addiction. It wasn't long ago that cocaine was found in the White House.
I was thinking the same thing. Has he overcome addiction? Is that what he's telling you, Joe?
He's just found a different place to snort.
Is that what your son is telling you? Hey, Dad, I'm clean, I tell you. I'm clean. You got to trust me. I'm clean. Disregard the white powder that they found over in the White House the other day. I know nothing about that. Just put it on my dresser in the bedroom over there. Okay. Well,
I understand he kind of walked off again yesterday too.
He did.
Kind of.
He looked up into the sky and wandered off. Did you see that? They had to grab him and bring him. It was he's like a little child. I mean, you feel sorry for him in a way, and then you also go, my God, that's the guy that's leading our country?
Yeah.
Over there? He was saluting some plane that was going over, something like that.
Oh, he was saluting something. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was a pigeon.
He's lucky the pigeon didn't aim something on him.
He saw UFOs or something. I don't know.
You're probably right about that.
Hey, with regards to Ukraine, I understand this morning that Putin has offered a ceasefire has offered some sort of a negotiation.
Oh, really?
I was looking up the terms. Terms are an immediate ceasefire, and that they would have to get out of the three or the four annexes that the areas that Russia has taken over. Whatever those four areas are, annex, or I don't know, something like that. I couldn't read fast enough, so.
No. This is very interesting. I have not seen
it. It just came out on the top of the news.
Okay.
Top of the hour. So Putin has offered a ceasefire.
And he will pull out of some of the areas
He's asked that Ukraine.
Okay.
Okay, in other words, four areas that he's taken over.
Oh, yeah.
Well, to me, the there's a you have to negotiate, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying, I'm just going, aha. I'm just wondering if what he's going to do with the area that he's taken over.
So if he wants four, we'll give him two.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, interesting. Well, we'll check on that. I haven't seen anything yet, but I will. We will check on that. Anyway, we're going to take our break. I think our buddy Ryan Young is waiting patiently. When we come back, Ryan will join us from the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and we're going to talk about the Federal Reserve's decision to leave interest rates alone, at least for the time being.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
For years, we've been telling you that Andrew's Master Barbershop is the premier men's barbershop in Tampa Bay. Tops in great haircuts, tops in price. Well, now that it's summertime, Andrew and the gang have brand new hours. They're now open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 6 p.m. Again, that's Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 6. So give them a try, man. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street. Call first for your appointment, guys. 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Friday, it's Flag Day. Yes, indeed. June the 14th. We tend to forget some of these patriotic days, don't we? Because it's close to D-Day and everything. But Flag Day is an important day. So proudly fly your flag. Delighted to have our old buddy Ryan Young joining us. He is a senior economist at the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute. He's got a blog out on open markets, an open markets report. On their website about the Federal Reserve holding interest rates steady and the reasons that they are doing that. Ryan, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. You know, this stuff is so interesting. You never can get inside the heads of these people at the Fed. You never know what they're really thinking. But they are holding off on raising or lowering interests at this point, interest rates. At this point, but of course, we've got between now and November, we've got another 5 months. So, my question, Ryan, do you think there's any chance that the Fed will go political and maybe cut rates at least once before November?
I think we may have seen a sign of that, and that's because interest rates aren't actually the most important thing the Fed does. There's a lag time in the things that they do, usually at least 6 months. So the big meetings for anything that would influence the economy around election time was this meeting that happened this week and the previous one that happened about 6 weeks ago. From here on out, anything that happens probably won't phase in until probably next year.
Okay.
But as we know, the rule of thumb with inflation is you print a bunch of money, you're going to get inflation. That's what happened in COVID. The Fed printed $5 trillion of new money, quadrupled the usual rate. And inflation roughly quadrupled.
Sure.
They've been drawing it back since then. And the big decision they made wasn't with interest rates. It was with their balance sheet, which is what they use to directly influence the money supply. They've been slowly drawing it back from $9 trillion down to about $7 trillion now over the last few years. And they've decided to slow down that drawback. And that, I think, is a bad omen. That might mean that some stimulus is on the way, and even though it won't change interest rates, it will change inflation.
Yes, in fact, you allude to that. You say the bigger story on the Fed's decision to leave interest rates alone is the slowdown on reducing its government bonds. It had a plan of slowly pulling back on bonds, but they are now reducing that that pullback. And I think you go on to say, by continuing a slower pace of reducing bond holdings, they're signaling an openness to stimulus later this year, which would make inflation even worse. So why are they thinking about slowing down on this process if it's going to make inflation worse?
Well, the Fed has two missions. One is inflation control, which they've been doing a pretty decent job of for the last couple of years. The other is unemployment. And there are some signs that even though the economy is in good shape right now, that could change soon. We're essentially at full employment, even though this week's employment numbers were pretty good. At some point, just because we're so close to the top, it's going to slow down. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but the media and voters might not see it that way. The other is that GDP growth is still growing, but that growth has been slowing for two quarters in a row, and in about a month, we're going to find out if it actually slows down even further or maybe even contracts.
Yeah.
We don't know. So the Fed's preparing for that.
What about this thing that I'm reading that even though it looks like we were getting closer to full employment, it's actually the creation of more part-time employment numbers. More people are working more than one job. It's not necessarily that we're increasing full employment. Single job employment. It's people taking second jobs, which makes the numbers look better. Is there any truth to that?
Some, but I don't think it's that big of a story because the number of people working a second job is typically between 2-3%, which is not a lot of people.
Oh, is that all?
And when they do it, and even then, it's usually just a few extra hours. I think most of us have friends who will throw in a few hours a week working as an Uber driver or a DoorDash employee.
Yes, indeed.
It's a nice way to make ends meet, but it's not really that big of a story in terms of either numbers of people or the number of extra hours people are working just to pay the bills.
Sure. We're talking with Ryan Young. He is a senior economist at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He's been there for quite a while. He knows what he's talking about. He's got a report on the open markets blog on the Competitive Enterprise Institute's website. Fed hold interest rates steady, balance sheet concerns remain. And like you said, Brian, I don't think people are feeling all that great about, we can throw numbers and talk about the Fed, but it's, people go into the gas station or to the grocery store, or they see their utility bills go up. Their air conditioning bills and then light bills and everything else going up. And so they're going, what's going on here? I mean, are people keeping up in terms of their paychecks with the rising inflation?
For the most part, they are. And I think the reason for that, well, one is just simple pessimistic bias. Even during the 1990s dot-com boom when economic growth was 4% and 5% per year, double the usual rate, more than half of the country thought we were in a recession. So we're seeing something similar to that today. But the other is that inflation isn't a spike. It's not like we're going to see the prices go up for a year and then go back down. They're at this new higher level forever. Even though real paychecks have been keeping up and, in fact, going faster than inflation for more than a year now, so people are keeping up in real terms, they still see that sticker price in nominal terms, and they don't realize that in real terms they're actually doing most people are doing okay.
You know, so you're more
a little bit of illusion there.
Okay, well, you're more optimistic about this than I expected, because is it not true that since Biden has taken office, the rate of inflation has gone up almost 20%, 19.4%? And if that is the case, and it's true, have wages gone up that much on average?
Yeah, it's actually a little worse than that. The dollar has devalued since COVID by 21, maybe even 22% by this far into the year. But real wages are up 23-24%.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, a lot of people, including myself, sometimes get real and nominal dollars confused. It took a bit of time, and frankly, the Fed panicked during COVID, which is what caused all this mess, and then Congress spent trillions and trillions of new dollars, which the Fed has to help finance over and above what it does on its own. So Washington created this mess. We're slowly getting out of it, but fortunately, the free market and the liberal institutions we have left are pretty resilient. Things are not perfect, but they are pretty good.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
Unemployment's 4%. We're doing okay. It'd be better.
Okay. Another thing that you said on your report, if the Fed instead wants to shrink the money supply, it should sell, then it sells bonds and then retires from circulation the money that it receives. Again, it can do this in almost any amount it wants at any time. So do we want to do that? Is that a good idea? Do we want to shrink the money supply, which would, of course, supposedly cut back on inflation?
What we want isn't tight or loose money. What we want is stable prices. So I think what the Fed should do is treat that $5 trillion spike as a spike. Get things down, not quite where they were, but back to where the trend line would be. If they went from $4 trillion to $9 trillion, it would probably be naturally $5 or $6 trillion at this point. They should shoot for about that level, just a steady-as-she-goes, predictable inflation that people and that markets can plan around.
Let me ask you something else. You alluded to the COVID-19 pandemic. Are we totally, in terms of economics, are we totally out of that bubble? In other words, shelves are now being stocked as normal. You know what I mean? Supplies are there. There's very little lingering effect of the pandemic economically now. Is that true?
I think so. Most people are vaccinated, and the disease itself, like a lot of diseases that settle in and become endemic, it's less lethal now. It evolved that way, because otherwise the disease would die out if it killed all of the hosts. And the other thing is the supply disruptions. There were never any production problems due to COVID. The factories were still cranking out toilet paper and PPE and all the other stuff. It was distribution that got stopped because of a sudden rush of demand and also because of lockdowns. We're past that, although it did expose some fragilities in the system that we need to work on, because something like this is going to happen again in the next decade or two.
Are you comfortable? So, I'm sorry, go ahead. Finish your thought there.
No, please go ahead, Paul.
No, I was just going to ask you, are you comfortable in general with the Federal Reserve Chairman and his philosophy?
Compared to the alternatives, he's all right. I blame him quite a bit for panicking during COVID. When the economy slowed down to a crawl, the Fed should have printed a little bit more money. When it circulates more slowly, you have more dollars in absolute number to even it out.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do that. He went way overboard. $5 trillion of new money is unprecedented in human history. But he's also done a good job walking that back over the last 2 years. Inflation went from 9% to 3%, and the reason we're not back at target is because, frankly, that COVID episode cost him his credibility. So we almost need another test of unemployment going up or the economy slowing down to see, is he going to stay the course this time? Did he learn his lesson? Or is he going to go back into stimulus mode? That's what we need to see.
What do you think Trump thinks of him? If Trump becomes the president, would he get rid of the Fed chairman?
I think he would, and install someone a little more malleable. Powell has shown a little bit of an independent streak.
There's nothing wrong with being independent. That's supposed to be it's supposed to be an independent organization, which brings me back to a final question, and it's more of a philosophical question with you, Ryan. A lot of people think that the Federal Reserve, I'm thinking of Rand Paul and people like that, don't like the Federal Reserve at all. They'd rather not have them monkeying around with the money supply or, you know, interest rates at all, and let the free market and the swings of the free market in the long run, you know, that they would say that's a good thing. We established the Federal Reserve, I think, back in 1913, which coincidentally was the same year we established our current income tax system. So are you a fan of that kind of control of the money supply and the interest rates in this country? Or would you feel that if we just completely ignored the Fed and it wasn't there at all, that it might be better overall for consumers?
In a perfect world, we wouldn't need a Fed. In this world, the politics are such that we're going to have one. So what I favor is, instead of giving the Fed unlimited discretion to do whatever it wants, which is how Chairman Powell got us in this inflation mess in the first place, bind the Fed with a tight binding rule that it has to follow in good times or bad. You're going to grow the money supply in a way that matches what the real economy is doing. And if That way Congress or the president can't say, I want you to stimulate the economy ahead of the next election. The Fed say, no, I'm sorry, we have this rule we have to follow. I can't do that, Mr. President. That kind of Federal Reserve would be much better than the one that we have now.
Ryan, I always love talking with you. I always learn something when you're on with us. Thank you so very much for your time, my friend.
Thank you, Paul.
Okay, look forward to the next time. All right, Ryan Young of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to take our break, and then when we come back, boy, we got a lot going on. Speaking about money, actuaries are saying Social Security may be cut an average $325 per month in your benefits if something's not done to shore it up. We're going to give you all the details.
I got my hush puppies on. I guess I never was meant for glitter rock and roll. And honey, I didn't know that I'd be missing you so. Come Monday, it'll be alright. Come Monday, I'll be holding you tight. I spent...
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
For years, we've been telling you that Andrew's Master Barbershop is the premier men's barbershop in Tampa Bay. Tops in great haircuts, tops in price. Well, now that it's summertime, Andrew and the gang have brand new hours. They're now open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 6 p.m. Again, that's Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 6. So give them a try, man. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street. Call first for your appointment, guys. 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Friday, thank God it's Friday. Hey, something just crossed the wire, Ed. Supreme Court has one of their rulings has just come out, and I just lost it here, if I can get it back. It has to do with bump stocks. The court ruled 6-3 that a bump stock is not turning a gun into a machine gun. Mm. And hold on just one second, let's see if we can find that story. Here it is. Supreme Court has ruled that a bump stock does not transform a firearm into an automatic weapon, and struck down a federal rule that banned bump stocks. In the 6-3 decision, with the majority opinion being written by Clarence Thomas, Thomas wrote, Congress has long restricted access to machine guns, a category of firearm defined by the ability to shoot automatically more than one shot by a single function of the trigger. But semi-automatic firearms, which require shooters to re-engage the trigger each time for each shot, are not machine guns. This case asks whether a bump stock, which is an accessory to a rifle that allows the shooter to rapidly re-engage the trigger, does not turn it into a machine gun. So that's kind of an interesting decision. I guess a lot of the gun enthusiasts will be happy with that one, right? In the meantime, did you know the Supreme Court also has ruled in an abortion case saying that the challenge to the approval of mifepristone, I always mispronounce this thing, mifepristone, which is an abortion drug.
Yep.
Yeah. The Supreme Court ruled yesterday that it's allowable. In a victory for the Biden administration and abortion supporters, they gave a unanimous decision. The challenges to the FDA on approving it lacked the standing. They lacked standing to sue the government. That means that the challengers don't have any connection, and therefore we're not going to take this case for its detail on. Somebody else will have to come by that's got some sort of a connection to whether or not you can take this drug. So, very interesting. Hey, guess who we have? We have the proprietor of the barber pole patiently waiting, Andrew the Master Barber. Andrew, how are you doing, sir, and what's going on?
Paul, believe it or not, I'm ripping out a kitchen and I'm doing great.
That's good. I hope it's somebody's kitchen that you're connected to.
And there you go. My daughter.
Oh, but, well, you're connected to her.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
You know, they're talking about the bump stocks, which is great. That's a great ruling for the gun owners. There's no question about that.
It would seem so, yes.
Okay, and the abortion pills. But nobody's talking about the Russian submarines and destroyers that are sitting 90 miles off our coast now.
I know. That's kind of scary.
Well, you know, you got the goofball in Italy saying we're going to give you 10 more years of supplies.
Yeah.
And a couple of weeks ago, they were talking about giving Ukraine some missiles that will hit Russia. Now, now, not for nothing. Why do you think Putin put those there?
Put what there? Putin?
Yeah, why do you think Putin put those...
The submarines, you mean?
Yeah, the submarines and the destroyer.
Yeah, I think he's beating his chest. He's thumbing his nose at the administration. Sure,
I
don't think he'd be floating those subs over there if Trump was president.
Yeah, I kind of brought that up yesterday, but the rebuttal on that was, well, we don't believe there's any nukes on board.
Right.
Yeah. So you're telling me,
okay,
you sent an empty sub all the way down to Florida, what, for a tan?
Exactly.
So the boys can get a tan?
Unbelievable what they think. Unbelievable what they think. And you know, Paul?
Yes, sir?
I was told we were questioned about our decision on Hunter Biden's case, where we say he wouldn't be found guilty. But, you know,
yes,
I should have done more thinking about that before I said that, because, you know, they had to find him guilty, because if they didn't, everybody that bought a gun under drugs could say, hey, you know, I bought this gun. I didn't know what I was doing at the time. I was on drugs.
Yeah, there you go.
So they had to strike that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also had to have the point that, look, our judicial system is strong, and look what happened. You know, Trump got guilty, now Hunter's guilty, so everything is okay. It is proving it's all right. But all that did really was hide the real problems that Hunter's got, you know, with Burisma and a couple $1 million there, and the Russian oligarch's wife would give him $3.5 million.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they're hiding all that, and 10% for the big guy, and I'm paying all his bills. There's nothing but a cover. I should have done better thinking about that before I said that.
Well, no, I think you're right. And I also think that there's going to be some... Hunter still hasn't gotten out of his jam with the taxes. And not pay taxes. And that can open up a can of worms as to where did you get all the money that you didn't pay taxes on?
Right.
And that's going to start opening up the connection that he has overseas, drawing that money into all of the family's different LLC corporations, and ultimately into the pockets of people like James Biden and Joe Biden.
Yep.
Well, the brothers Karamazov.
I didn't get a chance to tell you this morning that you and Andrew were guest clip on the boys from The Voice of No Reason yesterday.
Oh, really?
On your banter back and forth, how you had no faith in the judicial system. Of course, Hunter Biden didn't have a biased judge, and somebody who ran on a platform of "I'm going to get Trump." You know, he didn't have that behind him, but forgot about that. What they did play yesterday is, with all the rain in Miami and it's hot, they had to find a way to play this idiot, who is a meteorologist down in Miami, who is crying because Miami is hot and raining. Said he is also a head climateologist or whatever. I looked on his Facebook page, and all the groups that he belongs to regarding climate change. Anyway, This is his clip from yesterday. Listen to this. How he goes after DeSantis. Listen to this.
On Thursday, we reported on NBC6 News that the government of Florida was beginning to roll back really important climate change legislation and really important climate change language, in spite of the fact that the state of Florida over the last couple of years has seen record heat, record flooding, record rain, record insurance rates, and the corals are dying all around the state. The entire world is looking to Florida to lead in climate change, and our government is saying that climate change is no longer the priority it once was. Please keep in mind, the most powerful climate change solution is the one you already have in the palm of your hands, the right to vote. And we will never tell you who to vote for, but we will tell you this. We implore you to please do your research and know that there are candidates that believe in climate change and that there are solutions, and there are candidates that don't.
Now, to that, I would just say, listen, Fatso, just give us the weather. I don't care about your agenda and the corals or whatever that you feel are dying. Have you been underwater seeing the corals die? They live and they die, just like everything else. But it's hot and raining in Miami, so we've got to run that clip.
Let me ask you a question. I lived here for 40 years so far. When does Miami ever go summer without being hot and rainy?
Andrew, answer me this. You hear this all the time. We haven't seen weather this bad since 1918.
What do you mean bad? I think it's beautiful.
No. So you're telling me climate change was worse in 1918 than it is today?
No, these people are crazy what they're talking. Well,
I don't understand that. When you say it hasn't been this bad for over 100 years.
These are fear.
So 100 years ago, did somebody say we need to start working on climate change?
These are fear mongers. First of all, that's what they are. They are fear mongers. And second of all, the climate's always changing. And we've gone through, and we all know this, we've gone through cold snap periods and we've gone through hot snap periods. And right now, yes, we've been going through a period where at least in our neck of the woods, the weather has been warmer than usual.
I remember.
Big deal.
I remember
it's going to change to the other eventually.
I remember last year, late spring, early summer, was one of the coolest periods we had in Florida in a long time. I can remember it being in the 70s in late May last year.
That's right.
We don't talk about that.
No.
No. Where was this guy last year?
They're fear-mongering. They want more government involvement. It's the whole socialist philosophy of we need to control your lives. That means that we're going to control your air conditioners, your furnaces, your dishwashers,
stoves,
your electric vehicles or non-electric. Yeah, we need to control you because we know better than you do, and so we'll fearmonger and scare you into wanting more government.
Well, they ought to be fear-mongering about those ships over in Cuba
right now.
They're 90 miles away, buddy.
Actually,
and I got news for you. A firework will go that far.
Actually, to their credit, they did talk about the subs down there yesterday. Here it is. And, of course, the border. Those are clips from yesterday.
Yeah, there you go.
That's it.
Hey, I got to ask Andrew this question. A little later in this month, we're scheduled to have that debate.
Oh, I know.
Between Biden and Donald Trump. And there are a bunch of people that are demanding that both of them take a drug test just prior, like maybe 4 hours prior. Because here's the deal. If you take the drug test too early, they won't stoke up Biden until after the drug test. And then they'll put all this stuff down his throat so that he can stand up straight when he's talking. What do you think about a drug test, Andrew?
Well, first you got to get a doctor who's going to tell the truth.
Right.
That's true.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you may as well hang that one up.
We didn't give him no stinking drugs.
Yeah. No, he's fine. Yeah. He's all clean. Look at him.
He's standing on his head and bouncing around in the corner there. That's
listen,
him.
Listen, he's getting lost in Italy. He's given 10 more years of supplies without the authority to even do that, you know. He doesn't have the authority to promise them that.
You know what's scary?
He's got to go through Congress.
I'm looking at this guy wandering off like he is. Then they actually take his hand and bring him back to the... It's almost childish, but we're laughing.
But this is downright scary to have the leader of our country so completely out of what is going on. This is why we got the subs down there right off the coast of Key West or wherever it is.
Well, like I say, see what happens if Biden gives them one rocket to hit Russia. You know, honestly, I think Putin needs to get this war over with in Ukraine. That's my opinion.
Did you hear Ed talking a little bit about Putin offering a deal?
No, I didn't.
Mention that again, Ed.
The deal, I got to look. I meant to look it up.
But that's all right.
I came over the top of the hour that a deal has been offered if they will agree, both sides will agree to a ceasefire, and the fact that the certain areas that Ukraine, that Russia is in, I think he named four areas that Ukraine back out of and ceasefire in that area, then they'll come to the table and talk. And I say at least listen to him. You know what? If that's me, go for a ceasefire and maybe build up some ammo, you know, while the ceasefire is going on, in case you have to go back in there again. At least some people are not dying.
Yeah.
But over in Israel, we're saying, you know, no, you got to do it our way. You know, Israel, do it the USA. Well, this is the way Biden wants you to do it. You know, you need to forget about the hostages or whatever.
Well, here we go again with, I guess it's because we're sending these things over. It's in both Israel and in Russia. We're dictating how they should fight their war. As an example, in the Ukraine now, we're not allowed. He's telling them, here, we're going to give you these weapons, but don't fire them into Russia. You have a certain perimeter you can use them for.
Now Zelensky wants the Iron Dome that Israel's got. Give us that. Now, I understand that the U.S. only has 15 of those that are positioned around the country. And they want, I think, 12.
Oh, I don't know about that either.
Yeah, they want 12 of them.
Yeah. Well, if I was Zelensky, I'd ask for two.
Well, you know what Zelensky's got over Biden, okay? Let's be real. You can ask for anything, and Biden's got to give it to him. Otherwise, I'm going to tell on you, Joey, everything that happened.
Yeah, you may be
not
right.
Gonna look
might
good.
Be blackmailing him a little bit.
He might be.
I wouldn't put it past him.
This is
one more thing about this entire administration. Look, if this guy, and I hope this is it's a nightmare, but if he were to win again, he can't survive another 4 years after this election. He can't survive. I'm telling you, he won't be able to. So they're going to have some sort of plan B. But hopefully that's not going to be the case. It looks like Trump is doing pretty well. And a lot more people are starting to rally to I think a lot more people are turning and looking to Trump, even if they don't like his personality. They're saying, you know what? I don't like his personality, but the guy's got some energy, and he seems to know what he's talking about.
Well, I could tell you that the blacks and the Latinos are switching over. I hear them every day. Every day. They've had it with the Democrat Party. They're leaving them in the streets. They're taking care of all these illegal immigrants, worthy American citizens. So they're all switching over, Paul.
Yeah.
They're all done. We love Trump.
Okay,
we love what he did.
It's certainly changing.
Here's the official offer by Putin. Putin says he's ready for a ceasefire tomorrow if Ukraine pulls out of four regions seized by Russian forces and abandons plans to join NATO.
Oh, wow. Well, I think Putin's going to be waiting a while before he hears the word yes on that one.
I know, but I hear four that can be cut down to maybe two. Yeah, exactly.
You know, now exactly. if we had Trump in, you know that we would be negotiating
but my
with
point
Putin.
Is,
we
Paul,
would come to some sort of a...
Biden is pushing for Israel to listen to Hamas over there, and yet over here he ignores the whole thing.
Yeah.
Listen, people are disgusted. I'm disgusted what I see going on every day. You know, they were talking the other day. They were saying, they had a Democrat strategist on there saying, well, if Joe Biden pulls out and he can't run, who is going to be the get Democrat? And I kept saying Gavin Newsom. But then, you know what the guy actually said?
What?
Kamala Harris. He said, Kamala Harris, she is our vice president, and she's going to be our nominee, I can guarantee you. But it'd be beautiful, wouldn't it?
Oh, my God.
Oh, for us, yeah. It'd be great.
Yeah, it'd be good for Republicans.
I'd vote for her.
Yeah, I bet you would.
Not for president.
Not for president. There you go. Hey, Andrew, it's always a pleasure, my friend.
That's great, Paul.
All right.
I'll be seeing you tomorrow. I'll talk with you later.
Yeah, let's talk later about that.
All right, buddy.
There he goes. We're talking about some sort of a rally. I don't know all the details on that, but he likes going to these Trump rallies. There's going to be one over there near the water. I say near
yeah,
the water.
Yeah,
near,
I understand near, Madeira Beach area.
Yeah, Madeira
somewhere.
Beach
it's
area.
Trump's birthday. And
it's Trump's birthday. Yeah, he'll be 78 years old.
Yep.
All right, we're going to take our final break. And as promised, when we come back, among other things, actuaries say Social Security may be cut. We'll tell you about that. And the top 10 best New England beach towns.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
ArborLife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call ArborLife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. ArborLife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
For years, we've been telling you that Andrew's Master Barbershop is the premier men's barbershop in Tampa Bay. Tops in great haircuts, tops in price. Well, now that it's summertime, Andrew and the gang have brand new hours. They're now open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 6 p.m. Again, that's Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 6. So give them a try, man. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street. Call first for your appointment, guys. 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works on a Friday, and we are so happy that you're with us. By the way, we're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network, 106.1 FM and 1340 AM. Always glad when you can listen. However, we know you're busy, and if you can't listen live, Big Ed puts all our shows on tape. All you got to do is go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button. Ed's got all the shows up there, and away you go. All right. The head actuaries for Social Security and Medicare have testified before a House panel yesterday about the two safety net programs looming financial woes. Both may see their funds depleted in roughly 10 years, which would mean benefit cuts. When depleted, the funds would only be able to pay out what they take in through payroll tax receipts, meaning benefits would be automatically cut. Social Security is expected to be depleted in 2033 when just 79% of scheduled benefits would be payable. Now, based on the average take-in check right now from for Social Security, it's about $1,900 per month for the average recipient. It would be cut back to about $1,600 per month. It's going to be about $325 less per month for your Social Security money. Now, that would scare a lot of people. Medicare's got the same problem, but this is what happens when you have the government running what could run better in the free market, both your retirement benefits and your health benefits. If you allow the free market to work its magic, you would get better products at lower prices for Medicare, and you would get more money if you were to allow yourself to keep the money that you would normally put into Social Security and invest it yourself into the stock market or into whatever you would like. Your chances of making more money are drastically increased. All righty. Before we get to our top 10, Ed, I just wanted to update people sports-wise that in the NHL and in the NBA, they are 3-0 leads. That means that only one more win for both of the leading teams. The Florida Panthers are up 3-0 over the Edmonton Oilers in the NHL Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
And the Boston Celtics are up 3-0 over the Dallas Mavericks in the NBA Championship. Do you watch any of that?
Nope.
Oh, well, that takes care of that. You do watch baseball. Is there anything going on with the Rays recently?
The Rays got... Well, when you said the Cubs would have a problem against the Rays or whatever on Wednesday, the Rays managed to win 2 out of 3.
Okay.
So
that's good. Yeah, Chicago's... It must be something in the water.
Well, the Cubs are better than the White Sox.
Oh, the White Sox are the worst in the league, last I looked.
Yeah, the Rays aren't far behind them.
Oh, God. All right, it's time for our top 10. Now, this is interesting. You ever go to New England?
No.
Okay, well, I have. And this is from Yankee Magazine. It's a big magazine that comes out that touts all the great things about New England for tourists, etc. Anyway, they have come up with the 10 best beach towns in New England. So here you go. Number 10.
Hey.
What was that?
I don't know.
Okay. Number 10.
Hang on 1 second. I've got to reboot there.
Yeah, that's all right. You tell me when. I'll just let everybody know that this is up in the New England area. These are beach towns, and if you ever go up there, especially in the summer like we're in now, when it's really beautiful up there, you may want to stop at these places. Here we go. Number 10. Watch Hill, Rhode Island. This classic summer... retreat offers a pretty beach, one of the oldest carousels in the country. Number 9, Chatham, Massachusetts. You will find a quintessential New England village green here, replete with gazebo and bands playing concerts in the summer. Number 8, Rockport, Massachusetts. Explore Bearskin Neck's mix of boutiques, ice cream shops, and restaurants. Number 7, Kennebunkport, Maine. You know, that was where George H.W. Bush had a retreat when he was president. Find top-notch shopping in Dock Square. Explore the fishing village of Cape Porpoise. All right, number 6.
Hey.
Edgartown and Martha's Vineyard. Yeah. Amble along sidewalks dotted with sea captains' homes, then take your bike out on a short ferry ride. Number 5, Old Harbor Block, Rhode Island. Across from quaint stores, eateries, and inns, you'll discover the glorious 3-mile-long Crescent Beach. Number 4, Newport, Rhode Island. They have a jazz festival there, home to the Gilded Age Mansions, the International Tennis Hall of Fame, and the nation's oldest synagogue. Number 3, Nantucket, Massachusetts. Sophisticated dining and an intriguing mix of shops plus gentle bike paths that branch off in every direction to a variety of beaches. Number 2, Provincetown, Massachusetts. Enjoy Cape Cod National Seashore beaches, stunning sunsets, a vibrant gallery and dining scene, and the most aesthetic people watching, or eclectic people watching it all. All right. And here is number 1.
I believe that last one is Cape. It's Cape Cod.
What did I say?
Cod. It's Cod.
Oh, Cape Cod.
Cape Cod.
I'm sorry. You're right about that. Go park your car. Number 1, I've been there. Ogunquit, Maine. It's beautiful. Walk from your hotel to the beach and onward to classic seafood. They have great seafood there. Great seafood. If you love lobster, go to Ogunquit, Maine. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll be back on Monday. Get that flag out. It's Flag Day. And remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour.